You're listening to the Option Alpha podcast from OptionAlpha.com, where we show you how to make smarter trades, learn how the stock market really works, and generate consistent monthly income. Now, your host and head trader at OptionAlpha.com, Kirk Duplessis.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk here again from OptionAlpha.com, working every single week to make this the most popular investing podcast offered online and in iTunes because it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that's helping you guys make smarter trades. So thanks so much again for tuning in today. On today's show, we're going to be talking about a very cool concept that I have deemed laddering trades. And I've talked about this for a little while now, and I get a lot of questions about it. So I figured it's probably time to start doing a podcast on it. But it's really talking about the concept of why we ladder or stack trades over time and price versus just one big giant trade that we throw into the market. And so before we get into the show, I also want to ask for your feedback. So as we're getting now further into 2017, I've also started to do, and many of you know, or if you haven't followed along, please do so, I've started to do more Facebook Lives. I'm jumping into Facebook Lives and answering questions, talking about things that people are covering over in our Facebook community. And it's been really fun. We're getting a lot of engagement. People are loving it. Questions are coming in really, really fast. And one of the things I've been thinking about doing is taking some of those Facebook Lives and releasing them here on the podcast. Now, there won't be full-blown episodes like this is. This is a kind of a full feature episode, which I like to do and kind of topic-driven. But some of these clips are anywhere between 5 and 10 minutes, but they might be helpful to people. And a lot of people have suggested that I release it on the podcast. But I'm literally asking for your feedback. I do everything here at Option Alpha with the intention of trying to help you guys out as much as possible. So if you like the idea of seeing some of these clips just come over in audio format here on the podcast, again, just really short little snippets that you can kind of take with you during the day, then let me know, because we'd have them more frequently than the show that we're doing once a week. But again, if you just want to keep the show, you know, just as it is, let me know. Again, most votes you hear generally is going to win. So let me know, shoot me an email, contact us, add a comment, do whatever you can do to get in touch with us and let us know. So I really appreciate your feedback. So again, on today's show, we're going to talk about laddering or stacking trades. Okay, so what is this whole concept of laddering trades? It starts with the beginning concept that most people have with trades, which is a sequential trading model. And so this is where people get, I think, into trouble in this business, and where hopefully we're going to take people out of as we release, you know, some more research and backtesting around this here in the next, you know, couple weeks. But what a lot of people do is they end up making trades in a sequential nature, which means they have one or two big trades that they have, just for the sake of argument, and they let those trades kind of run its course until they either close for a profit, close for a win or loss, reach expiration, whatever the case is. So they're literally making domino style trades, one trade after another. And they could be, in most cases, really, really big trades. So they make a big trade, then they wait to see how it works. Then they make another big trade, wait to see how it works, etc. I've seen a lot that actually people do this on a monthly basis. So they'll make, you know, a couple big monthly trades and then wait, and then make a couple big monthly trades and then wait, etc. Now, the problem in doing this, or let me take a step back. The benefit to doing that is you don't have to trade that often. And generally, the numbers are going to work out just the same as if you're going to do the laddering technique that we talk about, but it might take more time. Because if you think about it logically, what happens when you make, let's say, one monthly trade sequentially, one month after another, you're only making 12 trades a year in that security or whatever you're trading. That's just not enough trades or stats or opportunities to let the numbers work out and to see a high probability of success, right? Legitimately, one or two trades could really knock you out of, you know, commission for a little while, right? Could really be big losers. Now, on the same hand, you could have, you know, 12 trades that are all winners, right? And then you think to yourself that you're, you know, the best thing since sliced bread and the next trading god and whatever. But when you do this type of mental or this type of system where you're sequentially trading, you end up getting yourself into a position where direction becomes incredibly important, where timing and pricing and everything else that we talk about becomes even more so important, because you really only have 12 opportunities to kind of, you know, make some money. So I see people do this a lot, and I'm not downplaying this in any way, shape, or form. It can still work. It's just going to work over a longer period of time. It may take you 3 or 4 years before you start seeing success because you just haven't made enough trades yet. What people, I think, are starting to gravitate towards, and this is by, I guess, the evolution of the whole entire financial industry in this sense with the option side, is that more frequency and more activity reduces or almost eliminates the directional aspect of the market. So what do I mean by this? If you think about 12 trades a year, like we were just talking about, you've got to get your timing really, really right for those 12 trades. You could have neutral trades all 12 times, but it still is going to be predicated on the market direction for those 12 months. If you now break down those monthly trades into its smallest possible component, which is maybe just one tiny little trade per day versus one big trade every single month, every single day you are averaging around the market. So as the market moves up, your next trade in line, your next little trading block becomes a little bit higher on average, right? Your strike prices move up with the market on average. The next day the market moves up again. Okay, great. Your strike prices move up yet again with the market as it moves higher. So the whole idea with this high frequency trading model, and we've talked about this a bunch before on the podcast, but what high frequency trading shops do is that they always are making trades very fast and at high frequency naturally, and which eliminates basically the directional aspect of the market, because wherever the market moves, they are right there to make a trade to counterbalance whatever they have. As retail traders, we can't make trades every millisecond, right? But we can try to do this on as big of a scale as possible, meaning at least making or trying to make a trade on average per day. If we can do that, then we get into the rhythm of making a couple hundred trades a year, which reduces the impact of any one big directional movement in the market, because as the market moves, so do our positions with the market. I think about when I look at the market on a holistic approach, I think about the market as somebody that's like attacking me. I don't know, this is like the craziest analogy, but I've used it a lot in coaching. But if you have somebody who, let's say, has a sword and they're attacking you or something like that, and they take one step towards you, you might take one step back, right? And that's this whole idea, is that every time that the market takes a step towards you or back from you or whatever, you're taking a step every single time with the market as it moves, so that you keep that same distance, that same buffer between you and the market at every day or every sequential move or whatever the case is, right? So that's why we end up doing a lot of laddering here at Option Alpha. And what we're trying to do on its most basic term is just break our trade down into smaller pieces over time. So I want to give you guys an example of this, and hopefully this makes sense as we started going through it. And it's, you know, if it hasn't been a new concept to you, hopefully it is helpful in kind of understanding this. But we recently went through a series of laddered trades in FXE. In fact, we're going through it again here for the month of March expiration and then April expiration. But we went through a series of ladder trades in FXE where we literally spread our trade entry out in FXE over the course of 3 weeks. And so it doesn't matter what the time is. I mean, look, I'm not here to say it has to be every day in the same position. I'm here to say it should probably be every day in some position if you can do it on average, right? So if you don't trade today, maybe do two times tomorrow, or if you don't trade today and tomorrow, three times on Friday, or whatever the case is, right? But in FXE, back in December and January of this year, we started building a position for February. And so we started building this position over the course of 3 weeks. And as FXE moved, we would add more positions. So our initial position in FXE for February was centered around 100, which means that FXE was about 100 and we did an iron butterfly right around 100. Well, a couple days later, FXE had moved up to 103. So we now centered the new trade, the next leg the next set or laddered position around 103. So had we done our entire original position at 100, we would have never made that second trade. We would have just said, okay, you know what? Around 100 is where we think it's going to go for the next month. We're going to kind of plant our flag in the sand here and see what happens. But instead, we try to break it up into a couple chunks or a couple pieces. And so we ended up breaking it up into about four pieces. The first centered around 100, the next centered around 103, then FXE continued to move higher. The next position in the iron butterfly set was centered around 104, and then the final one was centered around 105. So all we did was we just kept moving lockstep with the market. Now, of course, this means that maybe 100 strike position originally might end up being a loser, but now we have potentially three other positions that are going to be winners, versus just having our flag planted in the sand at 100 and having a much bigger loss. We'll maybe lose a little bit, or could have lost a little bit on the February position at 100. Ironically enough, we didn't. We ended up closing everything for a profit, which is great, but that's not going to always happen. I'm just kind of talking through this here with you guys. But you can see the mentality in doing this. As FXE continued to move, so did our positions. Now, we kept the same structure. We kept the same number of contracts. Every time we did this, we did two contracts, right? So we did two, 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 right? And pretty much every position was about $5 to $6 wide, right? So it was $5 to $6 wide, $5 to $6 wide, right? We just kept the same structure and just made it really, really mechanical in how we were doing this. And so hopefully, again, it's hard to, you know, do on audio and kind of talk through, but I get, hopefully you get the concept that we're talking about here. And that's just, you know, break these positions down and move them into, you know, their smallest dimension that you can and just spread it out over time. Now, again, timing in this sense does not mean that every 3 days you make a trade, every 5 days. Figure out what works for your schedule, right? If you can do it once a week, great, do it once a week. If you can break it down into even smaller chunks and do 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1 versus sets of two, great, do that, right? At the time, we had enough other things that we were trading that we didn't need to do that. But now, maybe if low volatility, you know, persists in the market, maybe we start doing that again, right? So hopefully this is starting to make a lot of sense about why we do this. So a little bit of backstory on this, just so you guys know that this is not just like coming out of thin air. It's something I've been doing for a long time. But now that we've been doing a lot of backtesting, which you guys have been hearing me talk about, we have backtested in basically three different ways. And so I think this is important as we, you know, start to get ready to roll out this software here very soon. And it's talk about the three ways in which we backtest. And again, you're going to be able to do this once the software comes out and is available. We tested in three ways in the sense that we tested sequentially, which is what I talked about earlier in the podcast, one trade open at a time, never an overlapping trade of any sort of any kind, right? It was always one trade managed until the end and then the next trade, right? We tested on a weekly basis, which means that we entered a trade every single week, regardless of whether we had an open position or not. So the first week we'd enter a trade, the next week, if it met our parameters and, you know, the entry filters that we had for that back test, it would enter a trade even if we had the existing one still open, right? So it would start overlapping trades on a weekly basis. And then the last way that we tested is on a daily basis. So it would overlap trades and on a smallest scale as we could do it, which was on a daily basis, right? And so that means that the first day we enter a trade, the next day, regardless of whether that first position is closed or not, that's an independent trade, we add and stack and ladder another trade on top of it every single day when it hits our filters, right? So that does mean, of course, that some days we skip because we didn't hit, you know, our entry filters. And some days we, you know, did five in a row and then skip two and then did five in a row, et cetera. Okay. But just the idea that we were doing trades more frequently. When we start looking at the numbers, what we see across the board, okay, and there's no one size fits all for this, but across the board, average numbers, the daily entry model across the board for option selling beat weekly entry models, meaning every time that you broke down your trade from a weekly component, so four trades a month on average, to about 20 trades a month on average, you ended up beating out the weekly models for the same type of strategy. So same strategy, same setup, same probabilities, et cetera, same stop loss, same profit target, everything. You ended up breaking it, or you ended up beating out your weekly component. Likewise, when you ended up doing the weekly strategy, so on average four trades a month versus doing a sequential strategy, which was really one trade a month or less in some cases because we tested longer than 30 days, the weekly strategy, we're not saying weekly options, again, I don't want to confuse people, just but entering on a weekly basis as far as frequency, ended up beating out the sequential model as well. And again, same probabilities, same setups, same things that they were looking for. It's just how you go about entering these trades. So it's really interesting to see these numbers. And once we publish our profit matrix report on this here in, let's say, the next 30 to 60 days, you guys will see some of these numbers and how they kind of work out. But it's so fascinating to see the same thing that you're going after. It's just how you cut up the cheese, I guess, you know, like how you break up the little pieces and go after it. And it really goes back to what we talked about in show 83 with this whole casino analogy. And I love using them because it's just so relevant to what we're doing as far as breaking down the trades and bets into little bite-sized components and how it does ultimately end up performing much, much better. So we'll have more numbers on that as we release the software, but I just want to give you guys a really good insight into that today. And hopefully just this talk about, you know, how we do this laddering concept and what it means really helps out. Again, there's no exact mentality or methodology here. It's just the general concept that you have to break down your trades into more bite-sized components and spread your entry out over time and price.
And now our favorite part of the show, Trader Q&A, where we ask a question from one of our current members about options trading. Got a question you'd like to ask Kirk to answer live on the air? Just head on over to optionalpha.com/ask and hit the record button to leave a message. That's optionalpha.com/ask. And now, here's today's question.
Hi, Kirk. Thanks for your great insight. My name is Jonathan, and I'm from Singapore, and I've been trading options for close to a year, on and off, I guess. One question I have for you is that I noticed you do a lot of monthly trades with the exception of earnings. I actually do a lot of weekly trades to maximize the theta decay before I stumble onto your site. You recommended a lot of monthly trades. I have now followed your advice and implemented trades that are about 40 to 50 days out. But will it still be advisable for me to do some weekly trades like calendars, iron condors, iron butterflies, because you can make money a little quicker and I guess you can lose it a little quicker as well if not careful? Yeah, thanks again, Kirk, for your great site.
All right. Hey, Jonathan, thanks so much for submitting the question, and I really appreciate it. This is a question that I get often. People always ask, you know, Kirk, I see that you do a lot of monthly trades, but I do weekly trades, or why don't you do weekly trades? We did end up covering this in one of the podcasts previously where we, you know, kind of did some backtesting initially and kind of using CBOE data. What we found is that the weekly trades do work, no doubt about it. They actually generate, in most cases, and again, this is kind of broad strokes here, but in most cases, weekly trades end up generating net credits across 4 weeks that are higher than a monthly trade. So let me just make sure that everyone's on the same page here. A weekly trade might generate, let's say, $100 of credit per week. And so that's $400 of overall credit at the end of the month. Every week, you're taking in $100. A monthly trade might generate, let's say, $380 over the course of the one trade because you're just doing it one time, at, you know, a 30-day trade. And so on the outside, it looks like the weekly trades end up winning a little bit, or they generate a little bit more money. But when you actually backtest the numbers through, the monthly trades actually end up performing better in most cases. And again, that's very broad strokes. There are definitely some weekly strategies that we'll be talking about more in the future that end up working out pretty well. But weekly, 7 days versus a monthly trade, 30 days, it's better to have the monthly trade. They end up performing better. I think it's mainly because there's less gamma risk in the monthly trades. You end up collecting a big initial credit initially. It also reduces commission costs to get into one trade versus four trades. And I just think that, you know, ultimately it's much more stable for the portfolio. But I like this question for today's show. And the reason I kind of like handpicked this one for today's show is because I think it gets to the heart of maybe what the next question is that people might have after listening to this and is, okay, Kirk, well, if you just said that monthly trades are better than weekly trades, then you just said in the show, you know, why we should be doing daily and weekly trades over sequential trades. What I'm saying here is you should be laddering into monthly trades at all possible times, meaning every day you're starting a new series of monthly trades or a new set of monthly trades. In the FXE example that we had, when we got into our initial trade, it was about 50 days out. The next, you know, couple days later, we got into the next trade and that trade was, you know, let's say 51, you know, or 48 days out or something, right? So we're still trading monthly contracts. We're just doing it on a daily or every other day basis. We're not, because we're trading daily, that doesn't mean that we're trading weekly contracts. We're still going out in the future, always, you know, 25 to 45 days out and trading that time frame. So hopefully that helps out. As always, if you guys have questions, you can head on over to the show notes page, optionalpha.com/show48. So if you guys liked answering this question or liked me answering this question, you want to get your own question answered here on the podcast, or like I said in the beginning, live on Facebook and Periscope in the future, please head on over to optionalpha.com/ask. Click the big red button in the middle of the screen and leave me a private message. There's no software to download or install. It's actually really easy. It takes 2 seconds. I'm getting a lot of these, so it's always first come, first serve for questions that get added to a podcast or to Facebook Live. And of course, before we get into the closing bell segment, I want to let you guys know how you can get your hands on our special freebie today. This is our ultimate strategy guide. I still can't believe the number of people that I actually direct to reading this thing. And then I get emails back from people like, I didn't even know it was there. Well, I'm telling everyone again, it's our completely revamped ultimate strategy guide. It's now 90 plus pages. And it literally breaks down every single strategy that we do, how to get into them, how to get out of them, the stop losses you want to use, the profit targets, everything. It's 100% completely free, and you can get it by going to optionalpha.com/ebook or by texting in the word strategies to the short code 44222. So again, you can just text in the word strategies to the short code 44222.
now. The closing bell. Find out which stocks we're looking at right now, trades we're making, and hear our game plan moving forward.
All right, so today, the new trade that I want to talk about is actually a new laddered position in FXE. Surprise, surprise, right? And so this podcast will be going out later on this week, depending on when our team can get it out here and publish. But we got into this trade because we already had an existing couple positions in March for FXE. We have a couple iron butterflies, and we've been trading a lot of these iron butterflies because they end up working out pretty well, and they backtest really well as well. But we had an existing iron butterfly, couple iron butterflies in FXE. We had one that was centered around 103 again, 105. Now this one is our third one, and this is the beauty of laddering. It's now centered around 102. So our first one was at 103. Our second iron butterfly was at 105 as FXE moved up. Well, the other day, FXE dropped big time down low, and now our next position is centered at 102. So now with the addition of all these positions, we have got a big range that FXE can fall into for the month of March. Now, this position is basically selling the 102 straddle, which is the inside legs, the 102 call and 102 put. And we went out $4 on either end and bought the 106 call on the top side and bought the 98 put on the bottom side. Now, the thing I'll say about this, and I got a lot of questions about this when I released it out to our members, is why didn't we go even further out? Well, the 106 call and the 98 put are each worth about $7 to $8 respectively. So they're really, really cheap, right? And we always say that we want to go as far out as possible, but we want to be logical about how we do it. So if we were to go to the next layer out, the next level of strikes, we'd go to the 107 call, which is another dollar higher, and the 97 put below the market. That would only save us, because these options are already so cheap at $7 or $8, it would only save us $3 on either end. So for $6 of extra premium that we take in, we're basically taking on an additional $100 of risk. Okay, does everyone that hopefully that makes sense. I'm like asking you guys like you're going to respond right now, but hopefully you do in the comment section at optionalpha.com/show84. But does that make sense? Like, we are going out as far out as we can that's logical. So in this case, it's $4 out. Those options are cheap enough that they give us protection, but they're not cheap enough that it's just stupid to go too far out. So again, if we went out to the 107 calls and down to the 97 puts, we'd save $3 basically, but we take in an additional $100 of risk. It's just not worth it to do it. So in this case, with this iron butterfly, we took in about $180 credit, got about a 60% probability of managing a profit early on this thing. And so it's a nice little trade. We'll definitely try to get out of it early, about a 25% gain, and treat each of these as individual trades as we watch FXE trade over the next month. So hopefully that was a good example of how we're just doing it here in FXE, again, kind of using some real numbers from my actual trading.
Thanks for listening to the Option Alpha podcast. If you liked what you heard, please drop by iTunes and leave a rating or comment. Plus, you can get everything: free email updates for future shows, transcripts, video tutorials, case studies, and more. Just visit our website at optionalpha.com.
All right, so I truly hope you guys enjoyed today's show and got at least one thing out of it that you can apply right now to make you a smarter, more profitable trader and investor. As always, you can get additional resources, any links mentioned in the show, and some related video training on laddering from today's show notes page at optionalpha.com/show84. That's just the number 84, optionalpha.com/show84. Until next time, happy trading.